Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, and we are recording it on Thursday, September 28th, 2023, Kingsman, The Golden Circle of Friends with Benefits, A Wonderful Life as We Know It Could Happen to You, Only Live Twice in a Lifetime, Cop and a Half, Nelson of Rambo, First Blood, Part 2 for the Roadhouse Sitter, House Sit Terminator 2, Judgment Dazed and Confused, Car, Cynic, and Old Lace in the Hole. My guests today are Chad Opitz, Jeff Tate, and Justin Thompson. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, hello. Doug.
I only heard two of you.
Oh, hello. Was that the one hello? You didn't hear?
No, that one. Hey, let's meet everybody individually. Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically by first name, which doesn't change it that much, I don't think. But starting us off, phoning it in. I'm going to say that about everybody because that's what we're all doing. Phoning it in from the Bay Area of California is Chad Opitz. Hey, Chad.
How's it going, Doug?
It's pretty good. I hear that you're laying on the floor like a child.
I am, like I'm coloring in a dinosaur book or something.
I wish I, you know, if you could take a picture of how you look while you're doing that, send it to me.
I'll post
it. Cause people just, I guess they could imagine it because you're so childlike in general.
I've got a real whimsy to me.
Yeah, you have the haircut of the child in The Shining, and you're always talking with one of your fingers.
Yeah. And isn't there a scene in that movie where he's drawing? Yeah, he's coloring.
Oh, yeah. You know he's laying on the floor coloring.
Absolutely.
In that big, gigantic hotel, taking a break from riding around on his big wheel.
Mm-hmm. What a life he leads.
Oh, my God. I am currently in Austin, Texas for an event, a film festival I go to every year called Fantastic Fest. And the theater in Austin where this is taking place, the Alamo Drafthouse, on Lamar, is when you go through the first hallway to go to where all the theaters are, it's like you're in the hallway of the Overlook Hotel. Whoa. There's a door that's been, you know, smashed through with an axe, And then there's the like little twin girls. They like project them at the end of the hallway and they appear and disappear. And
there's a hot lady that turns into an old lady.
No, they don't have that. They don't go that far with it. But terrific guess, Justin. also joining us today. Chad, how's San Francisco treating you?
Pretty good. Not bad. Yeah.
All right. That's all I needed to know.
Excellent.
I'm going to point out where everybody is today just because it really is interesting how we're all. I'm in Austin. You're in the Bay Area. Joining us from the Cincinnati area, it's Jeff Tate.
Hey, hello, everybody.
What's up?
Hey.
Does anybody ever call you Tater?
Sure.
They do?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
It was lot more 20 years ago. I have it a lot more when that.
Right
now, Ron White first broke out.
Now it's all about Ron White. He's the only Tater. He's going to retire with it.
Yeah,
he's retired, I guess. Which yeah. You know, you think stand up comedy would be one thing you don't really have to retire from as long as you can still talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, he still does sets around Austin. Maybe you'll see him.
Oh, he does. He just goes out and like just performs pro bono.
I mean, basically, I guess. Yeah. I can't imagine that that he's really interested in spot pay.
Somebody should go in there and try and scoop up his money. He's probably got a good tab at some of the clubs.
Yeah, he's got six envelopes with $40 checks in each one of them.
Yeah, exactly. And that's probably that sounds a little high. probably a little smaller than that. But thanks for joining us today, Jeff. Are you you got a gig somewhere in the Cincinnati area? Because I know you've been sitting in Portland.
Yeah, I'm in the comedy off Broadway tomorrow and Saturday.
Where's that?
Lexington. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm in Lexington. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's just a little over an hour away. So
yeah,
I came here.
You can just drive over there. Yeah. But that's a fun club. The last time I recorded an album, you know, because I stopped doing that, the last one I recorded was, I think you were even there, and it was, I think it was like 2017 at that club in Lexington, and we just called the album the date and Lexington for anybody.
Oh yeah,
interested in trying to find that.
I remember that. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. So say hello to that dude for me. And
I will.
Anybody else that shows up going, I saw you when you were here with Doug Benson. our returning champ today, words I never thought I'd say about this man. It's Justin Thompson. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I got a real underdog type spirit, you know, with me right now.
You really do. And how has it felt being a champion for, you know, it's been a few days now.
It's crazy. I go out on the street. Chicks are yelling at me. I'm signing tits. It's wild.
Well, I'm sorry to say your reign might end today. But you never know. You never know.
You know, I'm not familiar with Chad, but I know Jeff is a pretty good competitor at whatever it is that you got planned for us.
Yeah, Jeff's real good at this silly shit, and Chad's not he's no chopped liver, as they say, which I don't understand why they'd say you know that expression. Can anybody explain it?
Not at all.
What am I
no
chopped
idea.
Liver?
Yeah. What do you think? I think chopped liver. Like what?
I think it was one of the first things that everybody knew that was bad.
Why is it chopped? Like when it's unchopped, it's better.
I
does
have
that
to
make
imagine
it worse. You know, like why isn't the expression? What do you think I am? A greasy, slimy liver?
Yeah, they need it. They need it. They definitely need to change it up. It should be like, what do you think I am? Asparagus pea or something like that.
Yeah, that really rolls off the tongue.
Don't get me started about asparagus pea, because years ago when I was, mentioning somebody's Twitter handle on this show, I called them, I said, this person's Twitter name is Asparagus. And oh. I'd pronounced the P. And then it wasn't until I met the man that he said, no, my name is Asparagus P.
Oh, Lordy.
Not Asparagus.
Asparagus.
Yeah.
He should have capitalized the P so you know it's a different thing.
Exactly. You know what, Jeff? He did.
Oh. Okay.
And I still didn't pick up on it. I really thought it was first name Asparagus, last initial P. Thank you, all of you, for being here today. And before we play some games, I'd like each of you to recommend one movie for our listeners to either check out or disregard based on your personalities and your descriptions of the films. Starting with Chad Opitz, what have you got for us? Do you have anything you can recommend?
Yeah, I watched one a few nights ago. Good time for the Halloween season coming up, called Cobweb.
Ooh, I like it. It's called Cobweb?
Cobweb, and it's about this kid whose parents are mysterious and creepy. It kind of like, have you ever seen the movie Parents? Randy Quaid movie? It's got a little bit of that, but it's a little bit more serious, I guess. It almost feels like a Tales from the Crypt episode in a way. The family has this big pumpkin patch in the backyard for absolutely no reason, just because it's like Halloween-y. And there's something in the walls of the house, and the kid's trying to figure out like if the parents like have somebody in there, like what's going on. So there's kind of a mystery element to it, and the visuals are really good. I'd definitely recommend it for this time of year for sure.
You say this is a fairly recent film.
It came out in the summertime, which seems like a weird move. But yeah, it came out a few months ago, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about horror movies is that they're, you know, they can come out year round, but people start to get a little weirded out by the idea of it in August and September, because it's just like, well, couldn't you just wait a month or two for the whole scary season? But, you know, then you got a glut of horror movies that have to compete with each other. So it's real tricky. But I learned the other night, playing in a game show style format thing during Fantastic Fest, that the top 3 months to release a horror movie are, now I hope I don't fuck this up, October obviously is number one, but number two is December, or no, wait. No, number two is February. Number three is December. Uh-huh. And, and I figured out on the spot that February would be a big month because, you know, that one date, Valentine's Day, is, you know, of course there has to be a horror movie out so that couples can go do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then Christmas time, it's just like, it's such a happy time that, of course, there's going to be counter programming. And then there's also going to be just, you know, movies with the word sleigh in them, you know.
Absolutely. There are a lot of like holiday type horror flicks.
Oh, my God. They just keep coming out with them. My friend Brian Posehn's in one called Uncle Nick.
Yeah, that was really good.
But this Cobweb, I've never even heard of it.
There's also an exciting development in the movie where the bully of the young kid, the bully is played by a brand new Busey. Gary Busey has like a 10-year-old kid in the movie who just looks like him.
Oh, that's reason enough to not watch right there.
A new Busey just dropped, baby.
Wow. So it's like just a little kid who looks like he can't keep his teeth in his mouth?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's wild, man. And I thought it was like Jake Busey's kid, but no, it's Gary Busey's son.
Does he like hoagies like his dad in Point Break?
Oh, man, he better. He better be chomping on it. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt the whole flick, yelling at Keanu.
Wait, Keanu's in Cobweb?
No, he's not. I wish he was.
He would have been a nice addition. Mm-hmm. All right, Jeff Tate, what do you got for us? What do you want to recommend?
I want to recommend The Imposters.
Ooh.
What's that?
It's that it's from the late 90s, and it is the second movie that Stanley Tucci directed. It's the one with him.
How many has he directed total?
Just two. It's just the he did Big Night and then The Imposters.
It's okay. A Tucci joint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's Stanley Tucci and Oliver Platt are like bad stage actors who make somebody mad and then have to hide on a boat. And I really enjoy it. It's delightful.
What do they get mistaken for?
I think other actors, like better actors.
Oh, okay. So that's why they're imposters. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very fun.
And it's just the whole thing's on a boat, single location?
Like 90% of it's on the boat, maybe 95%. The very beginning is on land, and then you see the thing happen that makes them hide, and then they're just on the boat for the rest of the time.
Okay. Because, you know, I've been learning more and more about the, you know, the single location thing is obviously kind of a popular thing to do during the pandemic. There was a lot of movies that just take place in one place, but now it's I think it's fun to try to think of movies that, you know, only have one location. Maybe that'll be a game that we will play someday. All right. Justin, what do you have? What do you got this time? What would you like to recommend?
I would like to recommend a documentary. Hands on a Hard Body, the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's a documentary from the mid-90s about a contest put on by a radio station at a car dealership where everyone keeps their hands on a truck to try and win it. And it's bananas. It's great. It's the best. I watched this again recently, and it's something I'm telling everybody about. It's wild. There's twists, there's turns, there's an emotional arc, but the subjects are all these really ridiculous Southern folks who just show up like, yep, I'm going to win that truck. And it's amazing. And I don't know, but I feel like everyone should watch it. And it's hilarious. And then the guy who had won it before is like a central character in it. And he's like this, you know, kind of cowboy philosopher type. And you can watch it online for free legally, not on one of the main streaming services. If you Google Hands on a Hard Body, the documentary, it'll be like the third or fourth link. And it's like set in like 95 or.
Yeah, a couple of dirty things will probably come up first with that title. But then you'll get to it. And I saw it, you know, back when it came out. I don't even know. Do you know how old it is?
I think it came out in 97. I'm looking at the Wikipedia page.
Okay, don't look things up while we're doing the show.
All right. So nothing else. I just, this movie, I wanted to get the details right.
Now we know how you won last time.
No. I didn't look it up. I looked it up before. A cheat. I am not a cheat. How dare you besmirch my character in such a demeaning manner? Did you know they adapted it into a stage musical, Doug?
I did. I was going to drop that news on you because what a weird thing to turn into a musical. And it was, but the music kind of had a kind of a country kind of feel to it. And the stage show, one of the actors with his hand on the car, or maybe he played the other guy. I don't know. But one of them was the great Keith Carradine. Cause he's a good singer but he has that like twangy kind of, he's good at that kind of stuff. But I've been watching, over the years, these like competitions they do on reality shows like Survivor and Big Brother, where they make somebody stand or touch something, you know, for a long time. And whoever lasts the longest wins, you know, and it goes like, you know, 20 hours or some shit like that. But do you recall how long the Hands on a Hard Body contest, how long it took before there was a winner?
It goes into multiple days, like more than like two full days.
And they have to continually just touch this truck. And the other thing is you have to, you know, the people don't have to just stand there quietly. They can stand there and talk shit if they want, you know, and be weird. I think
they're given like a 5-minute break every hour to like piss and stretch their legs.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, they do get a small break, but they still, you know, do it for like over 24 hours, and then it just gets really ridiculous.
it's crazy. And I do recommend it as well. But I am interested in Cobweb and the Imposters. I think this is a good selection. I doubt there's any person listening right now that's seen all three of these movies. If there is, reach out to me and I will give you a special prize. It's called, it's a certificate that I'll draw myself that says you saw three movies.
Yeah, put that on your resume.
I got ahead of myself. As soon as I offered a prize, I was like, I got to offer a shitty prize so no one even bothers me. But thanks for all those recommendations. And you know what? I'm going to recommend a movie.
Yeah.
But after the break, we'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back, and I know you're dying to hear what I want to recommend, but it's going to be folded into this first game we're going to play. Because I'm currently, as I said, in Austin, Texas for Fantastic Fest. Today's the last day. I'm going to the closing night party tonight. And they do weird stuff at these closing night parties of Fantastic Fest. And this year is no exception. I've been asked if I want to participate in a thing where they draw some of your blood and then make it into sausage and then you eat it.
Oh, what?
Right?
What?
Doesn't that sound absolutely horrible?
No.
What was your answer? All you said was you were asked to do it. Did you agree to do it?
No. I said, I said thanks, but no thanks. And then the person laughed.
Was this a promo? Was it a promo for one of the movies? Why would they do that?
No, because the guy that runs Fantastic Fest, the guy who dreamed it up, his name's Tim League, and he also was the founder of Alamo Drafthouse Cinema Chain. And he just has crazy ideas all the time. Like, I didn't participate in this either, but the first day of the festival, a bunch of people went out to a field with shotguns and shot at things that when you hit them, they would actually explode.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. So they'd make these little explosions just if you hit the target, you know. So he's always up to stuff like that. He's always got crazy things he's doing. And, you know, I'll be there tonight and maybe witness somebody else do it or something. But I just don't even get how they can turn your blood into a sausage that you can eat. And someone told me today that if you make your own blood sausage of your own blood and someone that's not you eats it, then it's illegal.
What? What? What a weird law.
You can only eat your own blood.
Okay. Wow. Well,
but they've got to be mixing it's the blood with the like pork or something, law. Right?
What?
They got to be. Sorry to step on your joke, but they got to be mixing it with like pork or something, right? Like it's not just blood. Sausage.
They do something with it because then I guess that's what blood sausage is when you normally get it. It's the blood of the animals involved or something. But I mean, I don't, you know, what I know about sausage you could ride on the side of one wiener.
That should be what they do. They should do that instead of doing the blood sausage thing.
So anyway, that was a fun sidebar. But my point is that I'm at this festival and they show lots of fun movies. It's a genre festival. So all the movies tend to be science fiction, fantasy, or horror, or a mix thereof. And lots of, you know, disgusting things. This year, I've been pretty lucky. I haven't seen anything too gross. Nothing that's freaked me out too much. But also, last night, they showed Saw 10, and I didn't go to that. Because I'm not a I've only seen one Saw movie. Have you guys seen any Saw movies?
I've never seen Saw.
I saw the first three or four.
Yeah.
You were in it for a while and then dipped?
Yeah. Not my thing.
No. I mean, that's the thing is the first one sounded like I was like, oh, that doesn't sound appealing to me. Cary Elwes and someone sawing off their own thing. Mm-hmm. No, thanks. And then... And then I don't need to see a Prince, what's his name, from Princess Bride do that. And then I saw 2. I got tricked into seeing, well, not tricked into it. I just went and like on a date or something. And in that one, there's somebody gets like a drill in their head while they're awake. They get like somebody takes a power drill and puts it into their brain. Like that's the most disgusting part of that one. And so then I was done. I'd never look back. Not even Chris Rock could get me to see that last one, Spiral. But now this new one, Jigsaw, that character who I think died in one of the movies. Now he's back for some reason. So maybe it's a prequel or he's a ghost. But the buzz here at the festival is that it has one scene in it that's the most disgusting scene of any Saw movie. So now I'm extra out. I'm definitely not going to see it. But this morning, because, you know, they show movies all day. So this morning before doing the show today, I went and saw a movie called Eileen, and it stars Anne Hathaway and Thomasin McKenzie. And I loved it. It's really good. It's a period piece, which both of those actresses are great at. And it just really has some surprising twists and brings it all home in a mere 97 minutes. Even Leonard Maltin can't say it was too long. So inspired by seeing that movie today, this game we're going to play is called Come On, Eileen.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say a quote from a movie. I'll say a quote from a movie in some sort of silly voice, and then you tell me if it was uttered by Anne Hathaway or Thomasin McKenzie or neither. So it really is just basically a guessing game. Chad's going to go first. If he doesn't get it, then Jeff gets a shot. And then if Jeff doesn't get it, then Justin gets a gimme point. And whenever somebody gets right, the next person will start us off. Are you ready, Chad?
Yes.
Who said it? Hathaway, McKenzie, or neither? You really are an idiot.
Oh, my God. I mean, that could be anybody.
Right?
You really are an
idiot. Or neither. It could be anybody or nobody.
I'm going to go Hathaway on this one.
You're going Hathaway?
So I can just see her saying that in my head.
Well, I'm out here on the road, so I don't have my sound effects, but I'll give you an idea of what it would sound like with my mouth. That is incorrect.
Damn it.
Incorrect.
Damn.
Jeff, is it? Which one did you say? Chad?
Hathaway.
That's incorrect. Jeff, is it McKenzie or neither?
I'm going to say neither.
Guess what, Justin?
What's that?
You're already winning.
Oh! Jeff
is incorrect. What's your answer, Justin?
Oh, Thompson.
Thompson McKenzie, yeah. She's got a fun... Her first name does sound like a last name. And she says that to the title character in Jojo Rabbit. There were lots of other quotes from that movie, but for some reason it tends to always be about Nazis or Jewishness. So I thought that might be a little, make it a little too easy. All right. So Justin's on the board. We're back to Chad. What do you think of this? Who do you think this is? Hathaway, McKenzie, or neither? I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living.
Ooh.
Ooh, let me try it as Vincent Price. I had a dream. No, I can't do Vincent Price. I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living. Yeah.
That's Vincent Price's MLK impression. I'm going to go. That sounds like a line from Les Miserables. So I'm going Hathaway on this one.
Dude, you fucking figured it out. That's right. It's what Hathaway sings as Fantine in Les Mis. If I had a sound effect, it would sound like this. Woo!
That's pretty good.
Yeah, you're on the board. Jeff, are you ready?
Yes.
You're a big Les Mis fan, right?
Big. Big. I steal bread every day.
I like that you at least have a reference from.
Yeah, all my friends regularly tell me that I'm on my Jean Valjean bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm always saying that about Jeff. Again with this Jean Valjean bullshit.
It's the craziest story that Les Mis, because you know the dude gets caught stealing bread for because his fan because he's starving or whatever, and he gets thrown in jail, and then he breaks out of jail, and Russell Crowe is like I'm gonna nip this in the bud, and I'm gonna get this guy for escaping from jail. Then the guy starts, becomes a titan of industry. Next thing you know, he's like rich and has this big factory. And then Russell Crowe shows up and he's like, you look familiar. But he had like a beard, when he was destitute and went to jail. So then, Russell Crowe doesn't figure out it's him. And then it's, back and forth through the movie, it's but the point is, eventually, Russell Crowe is so upset that he can't catch this bread thief that he kills himself.
Damn.
Hello?
Whoa.
I mean, I definitely saw it, but some of this seems like news to me.
Seems a little drastic, but who knows,
He just throws himself off a building. And like in the stage show, it's really fun because it's off of a bridge and he just stands in the middle of a bridge and he raises his hands above his head. And then they just lift the bridge up really fast while he's standing there. And it looks like he jumps off of it. But in the movie, Russell Crowe really falls off a building and just like takes a header. It's like one of those falls where like in Titanic, when the guy hits the propeller on the way down.
Oh, yeah.
he gets dinged. It's like, there's this one lady that falls out of the building in Towering Inferno. I think her name was Jennifer Jones. When she dies, when she falls out of the building, she does the same thing. She like doesn't just fall next to it. It's like her head dings it at one point. It's like, why does this horrible thing have to be made more horrible? Like, why do they have to have a head injury on the way down? All right, so... what's going on? Douglas Movies. Which podcast are we doing? Chad has one. Justin has one. Jeff is. Wait. Yeah, Jeff is up now.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do this one as Marvin the Martian. McKenzie, Hathaway, or neither? Peace has cost you your strength. Victory has defeated you.
That's Anne Hathaway.
Incorrect.
Damn it. I thought I could trick you by sounding confident.
No, I really do need to double check when you have that kind of confidence. I have to look down and make sure. I thought I knew the answer until you said that so confidently. Justin, what do you think of your remaining choices, which are Neither or Thomas and Mackenzie?
All right, so it's not Castaway. I'm going to go with Neither.
Dude, you did it. That is correct.
Whoa.
That is, let me tell you how, let me say it how it's, let me tell you the proper way that it should be said. Peace has cost you your strength. Victory has defeated you. Oh, that's geez. Bane from Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Man, I thought it was. Yeah, that's the movie I thought it was from.
I tricked you, Jeff. You fell for my trick. I gave Catwoman one of Bane's lines.
Oh.
And it fooled you. I fooled you. There's this guy named Greg Travis. He used to do stand-up comedy. He's an actor. He's like the sleazy guy in Showgirls, which is a funny sentence because who isn't sleazy in Showgirls? But he used to do stand-up comedy, and his ending bit was the same every night, you know. And I was like the MC, and he was he'd do this bit called a punk magician, and he'd put on like a fake mohawk and then do magic if it was like a punk rock guy doing magic, you know. So he'd do the voice, and then he'd be like, "Fuck you, it's magic," after every trick. And and it just reminded me of that, the way I was talking. He'd just be like, "I fooled you." It was just really, really, really rude, because most magicians are usually like, you know, they're cocky, but they're fairly polite about it. They act humble, you know, they act like, you know. But this guy was really in people's faces about it. If we had to go to a tie, I was going to say a line to settle it. Your face looks really weird, Granny. Does anybody recognize that?
That sounds like a Little Red Riding Hood thing.
Yeah.
Is that Hathaway too? Was she in something like that?
Yeah, Hathaway is the voice of Little Red in a movie called Hoodwinked.
Was that what it's from?
Yeah.
Okay, hell yeah.
Yeah. But that was just, you know, I was just saying that for fun. There's no beating Justin at this point. He won that game. And wow, he gets to go first in our next game that's going to determine a winner today. And we'll do that after this break.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back. Did you guys have a chance to get some snacks or... Mm-hmm. Touch a truck for a few hours?
Yes. Thank you for letting me do that.
I did both. I touched a snack truck for a few hours.
Whoa. I touched a snack truck.
I'm in a pretty cool neighborhood.
Justin, let me ask you another question about Hands on a Hard Body, since you just watched it. And I don't remember if this happens or not, but I know they're allowed to, like, they have to have a hand on it, but they can like switch hands as long as there is continuous, like, right? They can like move from one hand to the other,
yeah.
But they just have to make sure they're continually touching it with one or the other.
Yeah, that's right. And
did anybody get disqualified because they fucked that up? They like accidentally tried to do that, but like didn't, the timing wasn't right.
Yeah, I don't want to give everything away, you know, teasing it for people who haven't seen it. But yeah, definitely. And they also have to wear gloves because they said the sweat and oils from their hands could damage the paint of the truck. So they have to wear these uncomfortable gloves the whole time. And then they start taking off the gloves and having one glove on. And yeah, people slip up when they're like delirious after being up for like 48 hours.
Oh, how many people does it start out? Like 10, 20?
I think it's around 20.
20? Wow. All right. I might have
to revisit. As many people as can stand around a small pickup truck.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, hoping to go home with it. And like, I assume that some of them were not exactly rich and they really needed that truck.
Yeah. There's one guy's like, well, I'd rather have a truck than a car, because a car, you just take your places, but a truck can work. You know, you can haul shit, you can help people move, you can earn money with a truck. I'm like, oh man, this guy's got a plan together.
Yeah.
Doesn't always.
And you
can
also, you can earn money with a car, as it turns out, too, because, you know, you can put stuff in it.
Yeah.
And you can, well, give people
if
rides.
You put your mind to it. You know, if you focus.
Ride,
yeah, that's
this was, this was long before a ride share, like, was an option. Like, he couldn't just, you know, drive people around. Okay.
And it's in, like, a small town in, like, Texas, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they need that truck. So it's really, it's really dramatic and a great, great subject for a documentary. But oh, in case I wasn't clear about it, though, that, that movie Eileen I was talking about earlier with Anne Hathaway, she's great. She's so good in it. I think she might get like a, you know, might have some Oscar potential there. But you know, she might, you know, meet a man named Oscar and settle down. But yeah, I don't know. All right. Well, Jeff is probably tired of how poorly it's going for him today. And,
I don't know. He might turn it around this next game.
It's true. He might. So in this next game, Justin's going to go first, and then we're going to go to Jeff and then to Chad, because we, you know, always switch the order around when it's a new game. And we're going to play a little something that I call Purple Rain Man Deluxe.
Ooh. Ooh,
yeah, oh. This is a regular Purple Rain Man. This is a new version of it. We used to do Purple Rain Man where, and still might at some point, where I say the third build people in a movie mashup title, and then the second build, and then the first, and then people jump in with the correct answer as soon as they know it. But this is a slightly different take on that, because I will tell Justin the two actors' names, and then he gets a chance to guess just from the third build people. And if he doesn't get it or passes because he has no idea, then it goes to Jeff and then to Chad. And so if none of you get it, then I tell you the second build people and you go through in order again, and then all the way up to the first build people. And hopefully once I've said the first build people, somebody we'll definitely know it in each case, but these are extremely difficult. So nobody should feel bad if they can't figure one of these out.
I'm going to feel Justin, like shit, Doug.
Yeah. Well, Justin, have you played this game before?
No, but I really need this, Doug.
Okay. So, so just to give you an example, like first build in the mashup title Purple Rain Man, for Purple Rain it would be Prince, and for Rain Man it would be you know, Dustin Hoffman. So those would be the top build people for to end in the result Purple Rain Man.
Okay. Just so you understand. So in this deluxe version you're going to give me two third build names.
Yeah, and that's all, right. All you get, but you get to guess without you know, Jeff jumping in and making you look foolish.
Making me look like a dumbass. All right, yeah. And then I guess the mashup title. All right, just making sure we got it all clear.
Yeah, and you know, on the third build pairs, do not feel bad if you don't have any idea, because, you know, third build people are...
I'm swinging
just,
for the fences.
They're just a menace.
Either way.
Third build people are a menace, and they should not be allowed. Okay, there should only be two characters in every movie. Here's your third. And so
whoever heard of a three-hander.
Yeah, exactly. But Jeff and Chad both, you know, just a reminder, don't like yell it out if you know it. It's just Justin first. Mm-hmm. Okay, third build Justin in this movie mashup title are Lionel Jeffries and Vincent Gardenia. Okay, let's go to Jeff. Jeff, what do you think? Nope. Nope, Jeff doesn't know it. Chad? Nope. No. Nope, he doesn't know it.
All right. Just had to get that out of the way. There's no way anybody was going to get it based off of that. This only makes it slightly easier. Second build in these movies, along with Lionel Jeffries and Vincent Gardenia, are the third build. Second build, Sally Ann Howes is in the first title, and Robert De Niro. A second build, Robert De Niro. That can't have happened very often. Is in the second movie. Justin, any want to make any right. attempt at a guess?
Yeah, I want to guess. All right, hold on. All right, you weren't kidding. This is a really tough game.
Oh yeah. And what? You shouldn't really. It's not likely anybody knows who Sally Ann Howes is.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take that top name maybe to really get it going. But you know, that's the thing, is you might have an idea what the second title is, but that, you know, it helps. Jeff will tell you. You can piece it together sometimes, but
Meet the Parent Traps.
Yeah. Of course, Robert De Niro was in Meet the Parents, which would be the, you know, the second title. So like if Sally Ann Howes was in a movie called Dead Meat, then then it would be Dead Meat the Parents. But that's not the case. Jeff, do you have any idea?
Children of a Lesser Godfather Part 2.
Whoa.
Yeah, see, this is how Jeff plays. He plays dirty. And he plays fast, but that is not the correct answer.
Wow.
Dirty, fast, and wrong. That's my style.
Yeah. Chad, do you have any, idea?
I don't know either of the first two, like Lionel Jeffries or Sally Ann Howes, so I have no idea with that one. Mm-hmm. I also can't think of a movie that De Niro and Gardenia were in together. So I'm kind I got nothing for this one yet.
All right, let's go to Justin with the. He's going to get the full information now.
All he's going to drop it like it's hot.
Yeah. First build are Dick Van Dyke and Michael Moriarty.
Michael Moriarty.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I told you this is a tough one.
Wow.
But it's fun to say, and it's fun to think about.
Wow.
Is it something like what? Mary Poppins Sideman.
I like it, but no. Jeff, have you figured it out?
Oh, man.
No. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Well, fuck. Bang Jewel Heart.
What's oh man,
Bangleheart. I like Bangleheart. Bangleheart. No, that's incorrect. Chad.
Man, I do have nothing. I wish I had. I had no idea what the hell either one of these movies are.
Michael Moriarty is a pitcher, and Robert De Niro is a catcher on a baseball team. And they're buddies, and Robert De Niro's kind of, his character's kind of dumb, and then he gets a terminal illness, and the movie is called Bang the Drum Slowly.
Oh.
So the full title.
Oh, wow.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang the Drum Slowly.
Oh, man, that's great. Wow.
All right.
I almost said that.
That's the thing. It's a real tip of the tongue sometimes. Jeff
wasn't even that far off.
Yeah, I was thinking Chitty Chitty Bang Bang something, but yeah.
Yeah, Jeff figured out the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang part, but here we go. Here's the next round, starting again with Justin. Third build are Julie Harris and Adam Brody.
Okay, Adam Brody. All right, that's a name. All right, hold on. I'll pass.
Okay. Jeff?
I thought he was going to get it, so I forgot the names.
Julie Harris and Adam Brody, our third build.
The Mr. and Mrs. Smith. The Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
That's incorrect, Chad.
Oh, I don't even know who Julie Harris is. I'm screwed on this one too.
Right. Okay. Justin, here's your second build, people. Brian Brown and Angelina Jolie.
Ooh. Okay. It's hard to think of a picture where Jolie is going to be second. I feel like Jeff was getting close. Hold on. All right, what were the two names for the first movie again?
Julie Harris and Brian Brown.
Can't say I'm familiar with their work. So,
couple of hacks.
Not real A-listers, huh? So, I got nothing.
Jeff?
Man. Gorillas in the Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh,
that is correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a wow.
Yeah. Top build, Sigourney Weaver, and of course, Brad Pitt. Gorillas in the Mr. and Mrs. Damn. Smith.
That was great.
Yeah. Jeff's on the board.
I'm gonna get it.
Chad's up first on this next one.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's important. It's important that you probably go back to character actor lessons.
Yes.
Because the names can be a little obscure, but I think you might know this first gentleman who is third billed. His name, he's been on Doug Loves Movies, and his name is Alan Tudyk.
Oh, yeah.
And then third billed in the other movie is a gentleman named Michael Berryman.
Oh, man.
You know him?
I do know Michael Berryman.
Okay, so.
Oh, man.
What do you think?
Third build, okay. Oh, man. Damn, I'm gonna pass.
Okay.
I can't think of a proper mix.
No, it's smart too, also, like. I think strategically you don't want to say.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away because I have one idea.
Yeah, you give Jeff half of it, he might run away with the whole thing.
Yep.
That's how I feel about my blood sausage.
What if I agreed to eat the blood sausage with someone else's blood in it?
I don't think the illegal part is like trick is that they. I don't think it's illegal to trick somebody into eating your blood. I think it's just an illegal activity in general. I mean, they got a lot of laws in Texas I'm probably not familiar with.
Just always trying to control our bodies, huh?
Yeah. whose turn is it?
I think it's Justin's.
Yeah, it's Justin's.
Justin, did you get a chance to guess on this one?
No. All right. Alan Tudyk's. And who was the other name?
Michael Berryman.
Oh, Michael Berry One
and
Dick Man.
Berry's Man.
Uh huh.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Jeff.
Rogue One for the money.
Jeff likes to take a swing, but that is not the answer. So, Chad, you get. The second build people now. This is a real opportunity for you. They are Diego Luna and Louise Fletcher.
Louise Fletcher. Oh. Wait a minute. Rogue One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
That is correct!
Yeah!
Nicely done. Holy shit.
Wow.
Top build, of course, are Felicity Jones and good old Jack Nicholson in Rogue One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Wow.
So those kind of got a little easier as we went along. I did an okay job with that. But now we have, apologies to Justin, hang out a second because we want to, you know, get your plugs and stuff and remind people that your name on your social handles is weird. Chad and Jeff are going to battle this one out for the win. And we're going to start with Jeff, and I think you'll get it right out of the gate, but you never know. You never know.
Well, God damn it.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Third build, Luis Guzman and Martin Short.
Whoa, Martin Short. Mm-hmm. Third build, Luis mm-hmm. Guzman.
Always third build.
Always, perpetually third build, Luis Guzman.
Yeah.
Shit. No, I don't have a guess right now.
Okay, Chad?
I don't either.
Okay, I'll give you the next names, Jeff. If this doesn't do it, I'm going to jump through the phone. I'm going to jump through the phone like Freddy Krueger. Second build, John Travolta and Chevy Chase.
Travolta.
Okay. All right. John Travolta and Luis Guzman should be so much easier than it is right
now. Yeah, what?
Right? But just... figure out the first word of the second movie.
Right. And that one has... Wait, who's in the second movie?
Chevy Chase and Martin Short.
Oh, yeah. No, okay, you're right. I know that. I know which one. I know that one. Fuck. I don't know. No guess.
God damn, dude.
Chad?
I'm stuck on the... The first one, the Travolta Guzman. I'm gonna take a God damn it! get Shorty Three Amigos. I don't know, dude. That's too much of a stretch, dude. I don't
know.
Too
bad they didn't do a Get Shorty movie where John Travolta wouldn't get top billing.
Oh, man, I feel like such an idiot.
That's okay. It's fun to be an idiot. Like, you know, like Elsa said to Jojo Rabbit.
You idiot.
You really are an idiot.
Stupid, Jojo.
All right. Jeff, are you ready for the big finish?
Yeah.
It's gonna hit you like a lightning bolt.
Okay.
Top build in the first movie. I'm not going to tell you who's top build in the second movie. Top build in the first movie is Denzel Washington.
Oh, and the Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3 Amigos.
Oh, my God.
That is it.
Oh, Jeff, man. It.
He did it. He's our winner.
Good work.
Congratulations, yay. Jeff. What would you like to plug today, Jeff?
Well, the first 2 weeks of December, I'm doing a nice little run with our pals, Billy Wayne Davis, Dave Ooh. Stone, and Ryan Singer. We're doing like Biloxi and Lafayette, Louisiana, Houston, some stuff in New Mexico, Denver. Like, so check that out. Look at the Instagram at Jeff Tate. We'll tell you all of that information. And November 18th, there's a new club in Columbus called The Attic. Not affiliated with the Comedy Attic, but just a new club called The Attic. And I will be there Saturday, November 18th.
In Columbus, Wyoming?
Columbus, Ohio, correct.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that one. Sorry.
I don't even know if there's a Columbus in Wyoming, but I do think it's funny that there are Columbuses in other places other than Ohio, but you just immediately go to Ohio when you hear it because it's the biggest one, I guess. The Attic. Okay, it doesn't seem like there's many tall buildings in that area that would have an attic.
No, this is the only one. It's easy to find.
Jeff, can you join us I think it's going to be a different time on Sunday, but you think you might be available Sunday to be on the next episode?
Yeah. I have one thing to do, but it's I can work around it. So don't worry.
I'll put you down for at least a maybe, but it'll probably be a yes. And Justin Thompson, what a run you had.
Yeah, it was really something.
Yeah, you won that last show and then you came back today.
To lose just, gracefully.
just Doe Thompson, how does your...
All right, so my Instagram, it's really dumb. It's Thompson Justin. It's my last name and then my first name.
Thompson. Justin,
if you're in New York, I have a monthly show. It's called Drop Up Video. You can find that on Instagram at Drop Up Video, and then I'm tagged in the description there, so that's an easy way to find me. Every month at Pine Box Rock Shop. Currently, our next date is October 13th. We'll be back on November 10th. It's the second Friday. Or if you're into Twitch, you can catch me on there at Thompson TV.
Amazing, and thank you, hey, Chad Opitz.
Yes, sir.
Give me your plugs, buddy. What do you got coming up?
I'm doing the Santa Cruz Comedy Fest on October 7th.
No way. Yeah. No way.
I am.
That's got to be an amazing fest. Santa Cruz is awesome.
Yeah, it's very fun. There's a lot of cool headliners this year. I got Moshe Kasher and Marcelo Arguello, Louis Katz. I'm doing four shows on the 7th. I'm including one full music set. Doing a music set and then three stand-up sets right afterwards.
Wow, all right. Yeah, that's the Santa Cruz Comedy Festival?
Yeah, all over the Santa Cruz downtown area.
That sounds really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Tell it when you're there, tell him that I would like to do it.
I'm going to tell him. Oh, he will be very excited to hear that. I will tell him.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, will he hit a gong or something? What just happened? Bing. What's that?
There's a church near where I'm staying.
You're right here at church?
I'm near a church, yeah, and they want to let everybody know it's 6 o'clock or whatever.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, it's the perfect time for us to be wrapping it up. I should have that as part of the show, just a church bell goes off when the time is up. did I get my plugs in? No. I'm doing the Benson Movie Interruption. Oh, my God, it's going to ring six times, Jeff.
It already has.
Okay, good. I'm doing a Benson Movie Interruption Tuesday at the Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles. Super fun show where people bring in their DVDs or Blu-rays, and then we all vote as an audience to pick one and watch it. And watching it with me will be, and commenting, will be Paul Tompkins, Patton Oswalt, and Mae Martin. So that's a fun... fun lineup. October 7th, I'm doing stand-up in San Diego at the American Comedy Co. That's at 4:20. And I'll be moving Doug Loves Movies as a new home on the third Tuesday of every month at 7:30, I think. Maybe 8, but I think 7:30 will be at the Improv Lab at the world-famous West Hollywood Improv in Los Angeles, and all of my dates are at douglovesmovies.com. Thank you again to Chad Opitz, Jeff Tate, and Thompson Justin.
Hey, thanks, Doug.
And you know, I always end now with a last line from a motion picture, and it's usually relevant in some way. And in this case, it's the last line from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. As always, let's go.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug...